Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Lord Jesus, thank you for being merciful and gracious and compassionate and kind. Thank you, Father, for inviting us into your throne room. You said if we have a need that we should come boldly before your throne, and so we do. Lord, you see these people who have come forward either for a need for themselves or somebody they care about. And Lord, they're placing those needs in your hands and asking that you would do what only you can do. So Lord, I'm asking that you would release your resources from heaven. I'm asking, Father, that you would speak into each need, whether it's healing or help or resources or wisdom or strength or insight, whatever is needed. By the power of your name, Lord, I ask that you would do what needs to be done. Thank you, Father, because you're at work. In these moments of silence, Lord, we would each bring our request to you, asking, Lord, that you would hear and answer prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your deep care for us. Lord, thank you that you walk with us. Lord, I want to pray for VBS coming up. I'm asking, Lord, that you would bring the kids you want us to minister to. And I pray, Lord, that the kids would just have a sense that you're close by and that they would learn about you. And I pray for the leaders, Lord, that you would give them the strength and the energy as they walk through the week. I pray, Lord, for our church during the summer. We're gathered, we're dispersed all over the place, and I'm praying, Lord, for your grace to be upon us all. And Lord, I want to give thanks because you are good, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning scripture reading comes from Mark 6, verses 6 to 13 and 30 and 31. When Jesus went out around the village, teaching from village to village, he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest."
Lord Jesus, as we look into your word today, I'm asking that you would open it up to us. Help us to understand what you want to say to us. Help us to see who you are. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I went into the Heart Institute on Friday and had a test, and they tell me I do have a heart, so this is good. So I'm going on Tuesday for my procedure, so if you remember me, pray for success of the procedure on Tuesday. I would really appreciate that, because one of these days I'll get to stand to preach again. But anyways, that's a whole other thing. If you're really, really, really observant, You'll notice we got a new piano this week, which is kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool. The old one was popping and grinding, and well, Linda and I bought the old one in 1988, so it didn't owe us anything, right? So I'm glad we have a new one, and it sounds great, and I am thankful for that as well. Well, this summer we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark. And we've been looking at the accidents of Jesus and how they show us who Jesus is. And so we're going to continue to do that today. Mark understands that it's important for Jesus' followers to know who Jesus is. And so when they're going through hard times, he wants you to know that Jesus can calm the storm. When you're going through times where you need wisdom, you need to know that Jesus' words carry authority. When you're going through times where you need healing or resources, you need to know that Jesus can do that as well. And so he has the authority to do what needs to be done. And so this morning I want to remind you of the authority of Jesus, but Mark's going to take that farther. He's going to talk about how that authority is for the disciples of Jesus. And not only the 12, but for us as well. If you're here and you are walking with Jesus, then this sermon is for you. If you're here and you don't quite know Jesus yet and you're just investigating things, I am so glad that you're here. And you'll wonder about some things I say, and that's okay. I'm really glad you're here. And oftentimes sermons are directed at certain groups, and so I just want you to know that this is for people who are following Jesus today, and so come with me to Mark chapter 6. So Jesus, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And so let me give you some background to this passage so you can understand a little bit what's going on. He sent the disciples out two by two. Reason for this was Jewish law had it that, you know, you could verify the truth of something with the testimony of two or three witnesses. And, you know, I get it. They send one disciple out and says, I was with Jesus in a boat and there was this huge storm and we're getting swamped. We thought we were going to die, and Jesus is asleep. We wake him up, and he just says, "Peace, be still." And you know, the Sea of Galilee just went like glass. And they're going to say, "Yeah, right, yeah." But there's another disciple. He sets them out two by two. So yeah, well, I was there too. I saw the exact same thing. And so he just wanted to verify what the disciples had been saying about that. So. And the same holds true today. When I hear about how Jesus has changed a life, that's awesome and amazing, but is it a one-off? But when I hear how Jesus has changed life after life after life, well, that becomes, yeah, there's something to this. There's something about this that has gravity and truth. And so that's why around here we like to hear people give different testimonies how God has been at work in your life. And so, you know, if God has been doing something significant in your life, talk to Lorna, and we would love to have you give a testimony about that. Well, verse 7 says that he began to send them out two by two. It seems like he didn't send all six groups out at the same time. I wonder if he had a word with each pair. You know, you're going to go here and you're going to go there. And when you go there, remember this. And then this wouldn't be the last time that he would send his disciples out two by two. He was going to send them out again a little later on. And verse 7 goes on to say, well, he gave them authority over impure or unclean spirits. Some versions translate that demonic spirits. Up until this time, as we're reading through the gospel, it's only Jesus who is delivering people from demonic and unclean spirits. And so the disciples had witnessed Jesus doing that. And they'd seen Jesus delivering people over and over and over again. However, they themselves had never been involved in that process, but here Jesus gives them authority to deliver people from the demonic. Can you imagine the disciples going out two by two, and it's the first time, and they go into this little town, and And they see this, there's this man there that's acting strange, and they know that it's demonic possession. They've seen this, they've been there, and one disciple will see the other, well, yeah, you take this. You've got this. Yeah. No. The other says, no, I've never done this before. Well, I've never done this before. Well, you know, you take this one. I'm not too sure, right? But anyways, they go. Jesus has given them authority, and they speak, and God does amazing things through them. Now, I know that there are a number of people who are skeptical about the demonic in our age. Some think that, you know, they are just the stories from Hollywood. Some think that we're too rational for that. But the reality is that most of us will experience spiritual warfare regularly. Many of us are just oblivious to it. And I don't have time to go into the whole thing about spiritual warfare. Satan's strategy in North America is to hide himself so that people don't believe in him. And if he reveals himself, he reveals himself in such a colorful, mythological, unbelievable way. So, yeah, no, that's not real. But if you were to go to other parts of the world, you would find that the manifestation of the demonic is not something that is really unusual. Well, here in North America, it's much more subtle. When people do things that give the demonic a foothold in their lives, things like, you know, fortune tellers or psychic fairs or pornography or undealt with anger or other forms of disobedience. Things like this give the unclean spirits a right to work in our lives. And there's a gift called spiritual discernment that helps us figure out what's going on. Sometimes, you know, what's going on is psychological. Sometimes it's spiritual. But if you're being significantly influenced by the demonic, there are a number of signs. There's a lot of confusion, especially over spiritual matters. It seems like unclean spirits put a weight on people's will that makes it really hard to decide to do what is right and good. Often there is a heightened irrational fear. There's a sense of guilt, and even in the believer, there's a sense of guilt, even if you've confessed your sins. There's a sense of spiritual restlessness when you're in the presence of God. And sometimes it's even manifests physically. And I've watched as Jesus has delivered people time and time again from that. And it's just, it doesn't have to be a big deal, but God has a way of delivering people and just bringing peace and joy and love and grace and goodness into their lives, just as they pray and they let Jesus have authority in their life. Well, back to Scripture. What does it mean he gave them authority? Well, obviously he was talking about unclean spirits or the demonic, and he was talking about having authority in the spiritual realm. Having authority means you have the right or power to command something. Jesus is saying to the disciples, I'm giving you the right and I'm giving you the power to command evil spirits to leave. I'm giving you the right and the power over the demonic. Question is that authority something that is just given to the disciples? Or is it something that we as Jesus' disciples in the 21st century have? Well, one of the last words of Jesus, you probably know the verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit.' All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go." Jesus had been given authority, and under his authority, the disciples were to go to make disciples, who were to make disciples, who were to make disciples. Being a disciple, part of that is having authority in the spiritual realm. Paul prays this for the church in Ephesus. I love this. Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious great inheritance in his holy people. He's praying for the people of God that you would know what you have when Jesus came into your life. and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Power of God that raised Christ from the dead is living in you as a believer. And he seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every other name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. So did you catch that? He seated Jesus above, gave authority over every rule or authority or power or dominion, all the demonic stuff, not only in that present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So you as the church, we as the church, have authority. And Paul wants to make sure, Paul's praying for the Ephesians that they would know the resurrection power. And part of Jesus' power was that authority over the demonic. And the church has that authority. And to make sure we get this, Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2 and says this. He says, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. So if you've received Jesus into your life, there's a spiritual aliveness that comes with that. He makes you alive. And even when we were dead in our transgressions and sin, so our sin separated us from God and made us spiritually dead, Christ comes, he makes us alive. It's by grace you've been saved, God's undeserved favor. God calls your name. He invites you to come into his kingdom and have his life in you. And look what he does to each person who invites Jesus into their life. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So, where was Jesus seated? He was seated above authority, power, dominions, and every name that could be named. Where are we? We are seated with Jesus. So, because of our connection with Jesus, we are above the authorities, powers, things, everything that can be named. So, do we have authority like Jesus? Does Jesus give us authority to deal with spiritual warfare? Yeah, he does. Yeah, he gives you the authority. If you're walking with Jesus, you have the authority. The answer is yes. It's not your own authority. We use Jesus' authority. That's why when we pray, we often pray in Jesus' name. We're saying, Jesus, we're invoking your authority to deal with this situation. Because of your connection with Christ, because of what he's done in your life, because he is in you, when it comes to spiritual warfare, then you have authority to deal with it. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be some super saint. You just need to be walking with Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm open. The disciples that he sent out two by two, they were just in mid-training kind of thing. They didn't know it all. They didn't have it all together. They were fighting. There was infighting in between them. They were doing all sorts of things that, well, you expect better from the disciples, but even still, Jesus gave them authority. Jesus gives you authority as well. Well, you heard what happened when the disciples went out with Jesus' authority, verse 12. They went out and preached the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They did what Jesus gave them the authority to do. They drove out many demons and healed many sick people. But I find it really interesting that later on in Mark, we're told another Jesus story. You might remember, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on top of the mountain. And there Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah. And Jesus is shining bright as the sun. And it's an amazing experience for Peter, James, and John. And after that amazing mountaintop experience, they come down from the mountain. And they find the nine disciples that are left at the bottom of the mountain are surrounded by a group of people, and they're arguing with each other, and the disciples are arguing with the teachers of the law, and there's this whole big dispute goes on. So Jesus asks in Mark chapter 9, verse 16, what are you arguing with them about, he asks. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seized him, it throws him into him to the ground and foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. The disciples have been sent out two by two, and we've heard how they had great success in their ministry, but they hit this particular situation, and they don't seem to be able to do anything. Jesus goes on, he talks a little bit about faith, and then he talks to the Father, and as the Father tells him about his son, and so verse 22 says, the demon has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I love that phrase from the Father. I pray that often myself. Lord, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Well, Jesus then gives the command, and it is a command, says to the demon, come out of him, and he does what the disciples couldn't do. And after the people had left, verse 28 of Mark chapter 9 says, and Jesus, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, hey, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, this kind comes out only by prayer. You might note that when Jesus was casting out the disciple, he didn't pray. He's talking about this close intimacy with God. He's saying, yeah, if you're going to drive this kind of demon out, you're going to need to walk closer with God than you are right now. Well, back to our story. Jesus gives the disciples authority. We have the same authority because of our connection with Jesus. Does that mean that we can do everything that Jesus did? No, sometimes there's a faith component that we're lacking, or a intimacy component, strong connection that we don't have that we need. But here's the thing. As a general rule, you have more authority than you think you have. And this isn't Scotiabank, you're richer than you think. This is something different than that, right? You have more authority than you think you have, because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. Well, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Here's his instructions. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. I love these instructions. Follow a guy named Blake Roberts on Instagram, and he flew from Texas into Toronto with just his guitar and a little bit of a sound system, and he says, I'm going to busk on the streets of Canada until I'm able to afford to take it back. And so he got out the first day, and he made enough money just to stay at a motel. And then he's only on day four, but he seems to be doing all right. Jesus kind of, same thing, don't take any money, just go out there, preach the gospel, and I'm going to take care of you in all of that. Jesus says, take nothing, deliver the people from unclean spirits, talk about me. If they listen to you, great. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet, go to the next town. Many wonder if that applies to us. You know, should we get rid of everything? Paul went on his missionary journey prepared. So what's up with Jesus' instruction here? I believe that Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he could not only give them authority in the spiritual realm, but provide for their needs in the physical realm. They needed to know that God would provide for what they needed. So this was not only mentoring them in how to minister spiritually, but how to trust God physically. In Luke chapter 22, we have this curious passage. So this is near the end of Jesus' ministry. So then Jesus asked them, when I sent you out without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. Huh. So they went out. They had what they needed. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell one, your cloak and buy one, it's written. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, it was written about me, is reaching its fulfillment. So one place he says, go without purse. God provided their needs. This time he's saying, okay, times have changed. Situation has changed. Take what you have. Take an extra change of clothes. Jesus changes the instructions as he sends them out. In Mark, he tells them to go with no purse and then take a purse. This is really important. So just because you have instructions to do a particular ministry at a particular time, in a particular way, does not mean that if you come back to that same ministry a little while later, that you should do it in the same way. That's true of programs in churches, right? Sometimes ministries start because God has a vision and gives somebody a vision for a particular ministry. And we should always check with God to see if he wants to do the and how we should do it. And as we pray, it becomes clear how we should do it. And I'm really thankful for this church, by the way. Wherever I have suggested something, I can't remember anybody who said to me, well, we can't do it that way because we've never done it that way before. That's not you, and so I'm thankful for that. Jesus sent his disciples out with no purse and no extra change of clothes for one portion of the ministry. Then at another time, he says, take a purse, take a change of clothes. The good news of Jesus never changes. The gospel doesn't change. But sometimes our instruction in how to go about living out, ministering the gospel, sometimes those instructions do change. And what needs to happen is we need to listen to Jesus. Sometimes our instructions for ministry will change. Verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Jesus went about preaching. His message was repent and believe the good news of that the kingdom of God is at hand. Disciples hadn't quite figured out all this kingdom of God stuff yet, right? So they're still in process. What does it mean to be part of the kingdom of God? And they're trying to figure this all out. So they just went with what they knew. So they went out and said, and they preached, repent. Kind of like John the Baptist, right? Something's coming, repent. We never see Jesus anointing anybody with oil either, but olive oil was seen as a medicine of the day, and you would anoint it sores or whatever with it. The disciples anointed many sick people, and they were healed. When they talked to Jesus about what they'd done, he doesn't rebuke them for using oil. They needed a prop for their faith. Jesus did not. So they go out, they do this, and it's amazing what happens. God does so many miracles through them. Verse 30 says this, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Jesus was an amazing mentor. Showed them how to do ministry and they watched. He released them into ministry in pairs to support one another and gather them together to debrief them. And then they do more ministry together and they'd watch Jesus a little more. And then he was going to send them out again to deliver others. But now Jesus comes and says to them in this passage in Mark chapter 6. Jesus says, okay, disciples, to use a sports analogy, you've been sitting on the bench. You've been watching me do the work out there. All good. That's what was needed. But now it's time for you to get into the game. It's time for you to take up and take up the authority that I have given you. I give you the authority to do what you've seen me do. You see, it's good to spend time with Jesus and learn from Jesus. It's wonderful to sit at his feet and hear from Jesus. It's good and right and proper to be part of Bible studies and small groups. But there's times when Jesus will say, okay, it's time to get off the bench and get into the game. And maybe you're just going to be a pinch hitter. So you won't be there for long, but you're going to get in, you're going to learn something, you're going to come back out again and see what God does. You'll notice from our story that it was Jesus who commissioned the disciples. The disciples did not say to Jesus, well, I've seen you do this, Jesus, I think I've got it, right? That's not what happened. There was this prompting by Jesus. Okay, it's time for the next step. I wonder if Jesus has been prompting you, saying it's time to get into the game. My guess is that he has been prompting some of you, not all of you, because there's a time to sit and a time to learn and a time to take up the authority that he's given to you and minister. There's a time to withdraw and talk to Jesus about what's going on. There's the be other times when Jesus will send you out, but he won't send you out in the same way that he sent you out before. And there's this kind of rhythm of life and grace and ministry. And somewhere in there is you. Here's what I know. That Jesus, at one point or another, will call you into the game. And say, okay, I've given you the authority to do this. And it may not be much in your sight. Yeah. Given a glass of cold water in my name. Feeding the hungry in my name. Praying with people in my name. And when you get the sense that you're supposed to do something, the first thing you do is, Jesus, how do I do that? What is it that you want me to do? In this case, he said, take no purse. And then another case, he said, well, take a purse. How is it that you want me to minister? How is it that you want me to be involved here? And here's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of God. Because as God releases us into ministry, he's going to do amazing things through us. And as the people of God in Perth, in the other churches, listen to the voice of God and are released into ministry, he's going to do amazing things in Perth. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I suspect that in this place there are some people who you have placed your hand on and you've been inspiring them to say, I wonder if I should be doing this. Lord, if that's your voice, confirm it to them. Let them understand that you're close by. Show them how to do what you want them to do. Lord, help them to trust in the authority that you give them. And Lord, we give these things to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.